Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'al, of Beth Yahweh Congregation. As always, I'll encourage everyone to get your notepads and your iPads and your pens, your pencils, and all those things that you need for a good study. For the Almighty has put on my heart a good study. And I hope you receive it in the manner in which he wants you to receive this message and receive this study. As always, if you can hear me clearly, send out a text, send out a shout, letting us know that you can hear me clearly. If there's any difficulties, let us know that also. I'm going to start a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank thee, Father, for allowing us to come together and hear your words of encouragement, your words of love, your words of truth. As we approach a new Sabbath day or another Sabbath day, we ask of thee, Father, to sup with us, be with us, journey with us. Well, you said on this day that you would be with us and rest with us. May we have open ears and listen to you attentively on thy Sabbath day, on the day in which you say that you will meet with us. We thank thee, Father, for protecting us throughout the course of the week, allowing us to have the life lessons and life blessings, which were all by your hand. Father, we thank thee for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, for the example that he has set for us, for the mark, for the goal that he has set for us. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to help us to have the strength to look to Yahushua as that measuring stick. We ask of thee to continue to give us that endurance, so that we can make the mark, which is Yahushua. Father, we ask of thee to continue to help us to clothe ourselves in the righteousness of Yahushua. Clothe ourselves with the protection of Yahushua. Father, we thank thee for just loving us, for who we are. May we, in turn, love you for who you are and give you praise and give you honor. Through thy Son, Yahushua, we thank thee, Father, once again for hearing our prayer. We thank thee, Father, for being a loving and caring Father. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with loving favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. And before we start today's lesson, I'm going to take a book out of one of the Moray's book and just ask the Father, how are you doing today? All right, family, we're going to get into the teaching for the evening. And the title of this teaching is it all right to sing during a storm? And this particular title or subject matter was brought to my mind because as we are in this pandemic throughout the world, many people are talking about the pandemic and the effects of the pandemic. And what are we going to do? Is the pandemic going to go away? People are moaning and groaning about this pandemic. And one of the things that the Most High brought to my mind was Israel has always been in the midst of a crisis. And they've been in the midst of a crisis because of their level of disobedience. And while in those crises, he's always been there to assist them. He's been there to assist them through his prophets by telling them to pass on information to the people. And it was up to the people to listen to what and this is no different in this day and time. He's letting the prophets know what's going on. He's letting the teachers know what's going on. But are the people listening to what's being said? This subject matter, as we go through the scriptures today, some of the things that we're going to talk about is still dealing with this Cold War that's amongst Israel. And we will see that as we brought out in previous classes or teachings that some of these things happened amongst Israel during Solomon's time. Because one of the things that Solomon did when he took on those additional wives and raised up idols in the temple for those additional wives, which caused levels of confusion amongst Israel. And we had kings that followed after Solomon who did the same things, raised up these different idols and these different teachings and these different, understandings of falsehood or idolatry. So even into this day, we still, as they say, the trickle-down theory, where things have trickled down to our generation. But the Father is still doing the same thing. He's talking to his prophets and encouraging them to teach the people and tell the people what thus saith Yahweh. To the people to listen for themselves. But the whole subject matter today, like I said, is it all right to sing during a storm? And when I'm thinking about singing, it's giving praise. Having joy in your heart in the midst of chaos, in the midst of foolishness. And it's all right. I'm letting you know right now, it is all right. And one of the things we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. And I'm starting here is because we as believers, those who believe in Yahushua, these are some of the characteristics that we are supposed to have. And if we don't have them, we're striving to have these. And it reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. We'll stop there for a minute, because that's one of the words that we're going to be using throughout the course of the day, is joy. And we're going to go to joy in your Greek lexicon, and it's 5479, and it's chara, and it means joy, delight, gladness. A source of joy. And one of the things that I'm saying a source of joy is because this particular word is used in the form of a noun. And it says it comes from the word 5463, which is kario. And that means to rejoice, be glad. And this is coming from the perspective of being a verb. I repeat, it means to be glad, to rejoice. And this particular word means to be cheerful, i.e. calmly happy, well off. So this is one of the spirits that the Father wants us to have. To be calmly happy, to be cheerful, to be glad, to rejoice. And what are we happy and glad in? We're glad in Him. We're glad in His Torah. We're glad that He has chosen us to represent Him and His Son on the earth. That is a reason to be glad. That is a reason to be happy. And one of the things that we go through the scriptures is He always told Israel when they were going amongst the world, and He understood the world and what they were going into, He said, don't be dismayed by what they do. Don't get caught up in what they're doing. Focus on Me. Keep My laws, statutes, and judgments. And see, when they took their eyes off those statutes and judgments, they started to become sad. Because now they're comparing what other people have to what they have, to the point where they're not even grateful for the things that they have, not understanding that the things that they have are not by their own doing, but it's by the hand of the Most High that is doing these things. So we're going to go to Webster's dictionary for a couple of the words for the definition of the words that were given in the Greek. And so we're going to start with the word rejoice. And this is what it says in this dictionary. And it says, rejoice, feel or show great joy or delight. Joy. The emotions evoked by well-being, success, good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires, the expression or exhibition of such emotion, a source or cause experiencing pleasure, joy, or delight, made happy. Very willing, made pleased, satisfied, or grateful, delight. A high degree of gratification or pleasure, extreme satisfaction, something that gives great pleasure. So these are some of the definitions for this word joy. And rejoicing. So as we go through the scriptures and we read different things, just think about the joy of Yahweh choosing you to hear His word, to hear His truth, to be taught His word to someone who has been chosen by His Son, Yahushua, to to minister the word to you so that you can do the same thing, minister that word to those in whom you come in contact with. Because that is our purpose as children of the Most High, to share our knowledge of His Word with those that are in the world so that they too can experience the joy of Yahweh, experience the joy of His Word. Let me finish the scripture. Start over again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So this is a fruit that we are given. But it comes with a process to get to joy. 1 year ago when we was, you know, taught this scripture, it was saying how love is the ultimate. But you have to first start with the last one, which is self-control. See, once you master self-control, it'll take you to the next one, just gentleness. You master self-control and gentleness, then it takes you to faith. You master self-control, gentleness, and faith, and then it takes you to goodness. And so on and so on. And ultimately, you get to love. And love will get you to the point where you're almost like the Messiah. Because we're still human. And we still have character flaws. So from here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7, and it reads, Yahweh, you have persuaded me, and I was persuaded, stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am becoming a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. See, when we cleave to Yahweh and His law, statutes, and judgments, when we do these things, we become strong in Him. See, because it is His strength that we have, not our own strength. And when we give in and submit ourselves to Him, see, the world is going to look at us and laugh at us. Why? Because the things that we're doing is that of the Most High. And because in this day and time, people look at the word of Yah as being antiquated, as being old, as being no more good. That's why you have certain religions out there who say their doctrine or their words or their teachers supersede what the Torah says. Supersede with the prophets that the Most High has chosen to speak. Supersedes that. But we are in a day and time where we're saying, no, 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 no. Yahweh's word is living. And it is living through me, a servant of Him, through His Son, Yahushua. So they're going to look at you and mock you. Why? Because you're showing that love, and you're showing that joy that you get from the Word of the Most High. We're going to go to Romans chapter 14, verse 5, and it reads, one man esteems one day as more important, another esteems every day alike. Let each man be fully assured in his own mind. And when you look at the word assured and persuaded, it has similar meanings. Let each man be assured in his own mind that what he is doing is proper according to the word of the Most High. Is he in line with the words of the Most High? We're going to go to 1 John chapter 2, We're going to read verses 3 to 6. And it's just some scriptures to encourage everyone to understand that you're going to be looked at differently. But see, this joy that you have for serving the Most High comes out in you keeping His word and being an example for those to see. And it reads, this is how we know that we know Him. And that Him that these scriptures are talking about is Yahushua. If we keep His commandments, one who says, I know Him, and doesn't keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. But whosoever keeps His word, Yah's love has most certainly been perfected in him. This is how we know that we are in Him. He who says he remains in Him ought himself also to walk just like He walked. See, we have to walk in the example of Yahushua. Follow after His footsteps. Follow the Lamb wherever He shall go. And so when we're doing this in this day and time, what are we doing? We're allowing people to see the Messiah living through us, giving them an opportunity to see the light in this darkened world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And it says, and it reads, for who has known the mind of Yah that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of the Messiah. And if we have the mind of the Messiah, then we understand and know what the will of the Most High is. Because He's going to lead and guide us and let us know. And see, and that's what's going to make us so different. See, and that's what's going to make us so different when we come time and talking the word of Yah to Israel. See, that's where the real battle was going to really be, with Israel. Why? Because Israel has learned all these different ways and have added different things to the Torah. When the scriptures clearly say, do not add, do not take away. And they have done that within Israel. And this is another, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And it reads, the dragon grew angry with the woman and went out to make war with the rest of her seed, who kept Yah's commandments and hold Yahushua's testimony. That's what we're doing, Israel. That's what we're doing in this day and time, during a time when they say that the Bible is not as an old book. Ah, that book is so old, it's not even relevant to today. But what we do, we stand on it and show it is relevant today. Because when we go through it, we find the answers to everyday problems, to everyday situations. And what we do, when we do that and we cleave to that word and make it alive, then people are going to look at us strangely. Because now they are seeing what they're not doing. And giving them an opportunity to want to do better. Or giving them a choice to want to do better. Or not. But they are being given that example through us. So that's a great thing to be joyful for. To understand that we have been chosen. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 15, verse 16. And it reads, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you will ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. See, this is Yahushua telling us, oh, he chose us. We didn't choose him. He opened our eyes. He allowed us to hear. He gives us perception. He did it. And when we come to understand that, the more we can embrace his word, the more we can embrace his truth. Now, I'm going to read a couple of our forefathers and what Paul say, those things that were written before time were written for our learning. And these are just some things of some brothers that were servants of the Most High and in the midst of trials and tribulation, that joy and that love for Yah's word and for his truth prevalent in them. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. No, that's not the scriptures. And I'm going, well, It's Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. I stand corrected. Sorry about that. And it reads, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our mighty one, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, our king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. So I went here, or the Most High led me here, is dealing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and what Nebuchadnezzar had done, he had made this idol, and he had set up a specific time in which everybody was supposed to worship. And these three brothers were Israelites, and they was like, nah, we're not doing it, you know. And they had asked them, you know, a couple of scriptures before, they was, you know, it was given to them saying what they should do, and basically asking them a question, and they basically like, look, we don't have we're not answering that question. We don't have an answer for you in that matter, because we already know who we serve, and that's where we have to be. We have to understand and know who we serve and understand that we're here for a purpose. Just like Yahushua said, he chose us and appointed us for a purpose. Sometimes our purpose may be for someone else. It may not be for our own individual learning. It may be for someone else's learning. And that's one of these things that these brothers were talking about. So, before I go any further, because I, you know, started talking about this particular incident, but we want to go back to another thing to bring us to understanding this joy. And this joy, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 to 35, going back to this now. And this is talking about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And it was talking about this statue. Or this, and what we've learned in regards to this statue is talking about the world system. And Most High led me to this, to bring us to the understanding that Yahweh wins. And because we understand and know that he wins, that's something that we can hold on to. That's something that we can hold our faith on, to understand and know that the God in whom we serve, the Torah in which we keep it, the author of it, he wins in the end. He lets us know, I win. And the scriptures read, you saw until a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken into pieces together, and became like chaff, the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, so that no place was found for them. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And from here, we're going to go to Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, but in the latter days, it will happen that the mountain of Yahweh's temple will be established on the top of the mountain, and it will be exalted above the hills. And the people will stream to it. Many nations will go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the mighty one of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. While Zion will go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Just another scripture to let us know that Yahweh's temple will be established on the mountaintop. And we've heard and we've learned in regards to that temple, Yahweh's temple. He's building his temple out of men, carving them and chiseling them and getting rid of their imperfections so that they can fit where they need to fit inside his temple. So we have to remember that we win. We win in the end. If we are standing with Yahweh, if we follow the land wherever he shall go, if we are doing things according to the purpose that what Yahushua has chosen us for. So now we're going to go to another story. And this is in Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 59. And understanding that joy, that gladness, a reason to stand up. Why? Because you know that you win in the end. Verse 51. And this is talking about these scriptures is talking about Stephen. And one of the things that he was doing, he was talking to the people. And then in the process of him talking to the people, you know, as the scripture talk about how they kill the prophets. You know, why are they killing the prophets? Because the prophets are telling them what thus saith Yahweh. And see, and they don't want to hear it. Because following after those idols appeased them a little better. So following those idols don't correct their wrongness. It just encourages more and more and more evilness. And when the men and women of Yahweh come and bring correction to them, they frown upon it and want to get rid of them. Verse 51, and it reads, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." So right here, I'm going to stop right here. First of all, we already know that we're stiff-necked, so, you know, we're not even bending over. Our necks are stiff. And then he's saying your uncircumcised heart, saying that your thinking has not been cut away, that evil thinking has not been cut away. And your uncircumcised ears, you know, your ears are not even been opened, where you're listening attentively to what's being said to you. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So you do. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have now become betrayers and murderers. You received the law as it was ordained by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfast into the heavens, and saw the glory of Yah and Yahushua standing on the right hand of Yah, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of Yah." But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed at him with one accord. See that? This is Israel that he's talking to. He ain't talking to Gentiles. He's talking to Israel. And it's Israel that's rushing at them and gnashing at their teeth because they don't want to hear what he has to say. And when he's talking about that he's seeing up in the heavens, that really got them mad. Verse 58, they threw him out of the city and stoned him. The witness placed their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Stone Stephen, as he called out, saying, "Yahushua, receive my spirit." This is a brother who was in tune with the law, statutes, and judgments, who was in tune with Yahushua. And he endured the storm, giving praise in the midst of his stoning. And if you read a couple of scriptures down, I think of one or two scriptures down, and he also asked for them to forgive them, just as Yahushua did when they was crucifying him, or when they crucified him. He said, he asked the Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they did." 2 Corinthians, we've heard this, we've read this one before, or at least I've read it before. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And this is talking about Paul. And it reads, "By the reason of exceedingly greatness of the revelation, that I should not be exalted excessively, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, that I should not be exalted excessively. Concerning this thing, I begged the Mighty One three times that it might depart from me. He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I was rather glad in my weakness that the power of Yahushua may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Yahushua's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And in verse 9, we have that word glory again. Deserving or rejoicing. Why is he rejoicing? It's because the Mighty One has taken pleasure in keeping him humble and assisting him in keeping him humble. And when he realized that this is why this is here, he was glad. He was joyful. Because now he understands why it's there. And that's the same thing for us. Some of us have certain things that the Most High has put in our life to buffer us, to keep us humble for him, so that we can be useful for the purpose in which Yahushua needs us for. Now, the next few scriptures I'm going to read, they're going to be in regards to Israel. And it's actually dealing with Israel in captivity, or the foretelling of Israel going in captivity, and how we can glean from these things and understanding that Yahweh has always told the people what he wants them to do in the midst of captivity or in the midst of what he's about to send them through. But he always tells them. And we learned that from the story of Abraham, because Abraham was a friend of his. And he said, should I hide anything from my servant Abraham? You know? So if he didn't hide from Abraham and we were supposed to be Abraham's seed, then he's going to keep it going. And then Abraham was a prophet. So what do? He reveals this information to the prophet. And the prophet reveals it to whom the Most High needs him to reveal it to, which is ultimately Israel. So now we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. And it reads, to this people you shall say, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who remains in this city shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. But he who goes out and passes over to the Chaldeans who besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be to him for a prey. For I have set my face on this city for evil and not for good, saith Yahweh. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. So we talked about this earlier, and the Most High is fed up with Israel's disobedience and idolatry. And he's letting them know, hey, look, I'm going to let this king come through. He's going to wipe y'all out. He's going to burn everything down. But he also letting them know that, hey, look, don't stay and don't fight, because if you stay and fight, you're going to die. If you leave and go somewhere else, to where I tell you to go, you're going to live. You're going to live. Jeremiah chapter 24, verses 4 to 7. And it reads, "The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, like these good figs, so will I regard the captivity of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for good. For I will set my eyes on them for good, as I will bring them again into this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and I will be their mighty one, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." So this, you know, when you read this, it, you know, it's talking about two fig trees. It's dealing with two figs. It's good figs and bad figs. And this is the explanation for the good figs. So it's letting you know in regards to the ones who go into this captivity in, with the Chaldeans, he's letting them know that, hey, look, I got you. After you finish going through this, I'm going to bring you out, take you to a good land, build everything back up. You know why? Because you're going to return to me with your whole heart and understand that, you know, it was for Israel's learning. And seeing sometimes we have to realize that some of the things we go through is for our learning and for our understanding. So if we look at this thing we're going through now, this pandemic, we can still rejoice in Yahweh. But we have to learn what we need to learn from what's going on right now to prepare us as a group, to prepare us as his children, rebuilding ourselves to him. As like last week's lesson, rededicating ourselves to him so that we are here with our whole mind and thankful that he allowed us to go through this particular situation to bring us closer to him. Just like when we read with Paul and having the thorn in his side. And when he realized that the thorn in his side was to keep him humble, let us understand that the things that we may be going through during this pandemic may be given to us to make us humble and to make us realize the goodness and the joy that Yahweh has given us up until this point. Because when we look out into the world and look at what some of these people are going through, only thing we can be is sad for them. Only thing we can do is be sad. And we can also be grateful for the things that Yahweh has done for us. Why? Because we're cleaving to his law, statutes, and judgment. Because we're giving honor to him and giving praise to him and walking after and following after Yahushua. And uplifting Yahushua and uplifting that word. As we do these things, what are we doing? We're showing the Father that we love him. We're showing him that we love him. We're rejoicing in him. So we have to keep it up. We can't get caught up and we can't be dismayed by the things that's going on. He doesn't tell us to be silly at it, because we also have to watch and see what's going on. But he doesn't want us to be silly and go out there and doing dumb stuff. You know, like licking door handles. You know, doing stuff like that. No, he don't want us doing that kind of foolishness. So we have to always remember what he is doing for us on a day-to-day basis. When he opened our eyes and allow us to go forth and show the light of his son in this world, at the same time allowing us to see what's going on around us. So that when we say hallelujah, we know why we're saying hallelujah. Because of his grace and mercy that he has laid upon us. And also being mindful that each night, Yahushua stands up for us, defending us while we sleep. We're now going to go to Jeremiah chapter 27. And we're going to read verses 12 to 16. And it reads, I spoke to Zedekiah, the king of Yehuda, according to all these words, saying, bring your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and to serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, as Yahweh has spoken concerning the nations that will not serve the king of Babylon? Do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, says Yahweh, but they prophesy falsely in my name, that I might drive you out and that you may perish, you and your prophets who prophesy to you. Also, I spoke to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus saith Yahweh, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessels of Yahweh's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. And this is going back to what we learned earlier in regards to going back to Solomon and these different idols that were put amongst Israel. And see, these idols and these prophets and these teachers that are amongst Israel are prophesying to the king and telling them wrong stuff, telling them stuff that Yahweh didn't say. But the true prophet of Yahweh came to them and brought it to his attention, informing him, don't listen to them, don't listen to them. And see, and that's what happens, that's what we go through in this day and time when we're talking to different people who claiming or calling themselves Israel. But when we start talking Torah and talking what thus saith Yahweh, that's when the rubber hits the road and they start to spin out because they don't want to hear what you have to say because what you're saying is not in, it's not parallel with what they're saying. It's not jiving with what they think. Why? Because they are being led and guided by liars who are using the Most High's name. So this is nothing different. You know, what we go through today is nothing different than what we just read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 11 to 22. And it reads, therefore, exhort one another and build each other up, even as you also do. But we beg you, brothers, to know those who labor among you and are over you in the Mighty One, and admonish you, and to respect and honor them in love for their work's sake. Be at peace amongst yourselves. We exhort you, brothers, admonish the disorderly, encourage the fainted heart, support the weak, and be patient toward all. See that no one returns evil for evil to another, but always follow after that which is good, for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of Yah in Yahushua's toward you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold firm that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Verse 16, take our word again, rejoice. He said rejoice always, not sometimes, always. Why? Because he has chosen you. Why? Because he is ingrained in his law, statutes, and judgments in you. Why? Because his son loves you. His son chose you. Rejoice. Rejoice. From here, we're going to go to Psalms 33. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Psalms 33. And it reads, rejoice in Yahweh, O ye righteous, for his praise is comely to the upright. Praise Yahweh with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and in the instruments of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with loud noise. For the word of Yahweh is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is filled full of the goodness of Yahweh. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He laid up the deep, the depths of the storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded it. He commanded it, and it stood fast. Yahweh bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of no effect. The counsel of Yahweh standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart all generations. Blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Yahweh looketh from the heaven, and behold all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considered all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host, and a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. Our soul waits for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. Let thy mercy of Yahweh be upon us according as we hope in thee. Hallelujah. I went here, you want to understand why we are rejoicing. We are rejoicing in Yahweh because of the things that he has done for us, the things he's doing for us, and the things that he will do for us. But ultimately, we're doing these things because we love him. we love him just as much as he loves us. So from here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, "The wilderness and the dry land will be glad. The desert will rejoice and bloom like a rose. It will bloom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. Lebanon's glory, Lebanon will be given to it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they will see Yahweh's glory, the excellence of Almighty One." I went here because, you know, understanding that the wilderness, you know, is talking about humanity, different aspects of humanity, and how he's going to change them. And they're going to blossom, and they're going to bloom, and they're going to be full of life. See, because when you have a wilderness full of dry land, there's not too much life that's in a dry land. There's not too much life that goes on in the desert. But he's telling you that I'm going to make a change, and they're going to blossom. And it's going to be abundant. Why? Because my joy is going to come upon them. See, we're not always going to be in this wilderness. Our goal is to be in paradise. And when they talk about paradise, they always, you know, make reference to the Garden of Eden. Now, we know the Garden of Eden was supposed to be really beautiful, with all the life that was going on in it. And that's what we're going to be, life, beautiful life, rejoicing, happy, calm, stress-free. Isaiah chapter 51. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3, and then I'm going to read verse 11. And it reads, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek Yahweh. Look to the rock you were cut from, and to the hold of the pit you were dug from. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For when he was but one, I called him, blessed him, and made him many. For Yahweh has comforted Zion. He has comforted all his wasted places, and has made her wilderness like Eden, and her deserts like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving in the voice of the melody. The ransom of Yahweh shall return and come with singing to Zion. And the everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall abstain gladness and joy, and sorrow and singing and sighing shall flee away." Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. And it reads, "Rejoice in the Mighty One always." Always, I will say, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Mighty One is at hand." You understand? The Mighty One is at hand. We have to understand that what we're going through right now, Yahweh knows what's going on. Yahweh orchestrated He said, I created light and darkness, created good and evil. So this is not out of his hands. This is not man's work. This is the Most High's work. You know, we got another Sabbath day and it was raining, constantly cleaning it. This whole season, you know, next Sabbath is the celebration of Feast of Weeks. And every Sabbath up until that now, it's been raining. That rain has been coming down on the earth. It's been raining down on us. We have a song that we sing amongst our camp or our congregation, talking about clean waters. Sprinkle clean waters on me, and I shall be clean, clean. He's sprinkling his word on us, people, little by little, little by little, giving us an opportunity to clean us. He's not always going to clean us. He's not going to always put us through hardships in order to get those impurities out of us. He can also use that water to get those impurities out of us also. What are they telling us nowadays for those people who had bad hygiene? Wash your hands. Soap and water. Soap and water don't beat your hands up as bad as that hand sanitizer do. You know, I'm just relating it to this day and time. That water that's being sprinkled down on us. Allow the Father to continue to cleanse you. He's being gentle with us right now, allowing us to have the opportunity to get ourselves right with him, peaceful manner. So a manner in which you can sit back and realize and see what he's doing. Versus when he come down with fire and you woo. You get up, you get through it, and you're like, whoa, oh, dang, that's what I was supposed to learn. Oh, okay. He could have came another way with that. No, he couldn't. Because when he came in a calm, peaceful manner, you didn't receive him. Scriptures I'm going to read, we're going to go to Psalms 126. And it reads, Psalm 126, a song of degrees. When Yahweh turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like a dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues were singing. Then said they among the heathens, Yahweh have done great things for them. Yahweh have done great things for us. Wherefore, we are glad. Turn again our captivities, O Yahweh, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weepeth, beareth precious seed, shall doubtless come again, but rejoicing brings him sheaves with them. So Israel, just want to bring it to your attention and encourage everyone to rejoice. Be happy. Be glad. And understand the wonders that Yah has done for you through his son Yahushua. Because when you sit back and analyze your life, and compare with someone else's life, with someone else's situation, we can say, whew, thank you, Father, for the things that you do for me, for the mercies that you extend to me. Because at the end of the day, we're no different than those people that's out there. But yet we are. Because we read it earlier. Yahushua chose us. We didn't choose him. So rejoice, people. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice in Yahweh. Rejoice in his word. Rejoice in the fact that we win the war. Those who keep the law, statutes, and judgments and have the testimony of Yahushua. We win. Not we win, we won. We won. And that's a reason to be glad. And that's a reason to be happy all the time. So we have to maintain that happiness. Maintain it by staying, as we say, prayed up, studied up in his word, so that word can be a part of us and we a part of it. So I want to say a brief prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank thee for meeting with us on thy holy Sabbath day. We thank thee for the words that you've had spoken throughout the course of this evening. We ask of thee, Father, that these words that were sent out, may they resonate in our mind. May we meditate on them. May we go back over them and connect with them just a little bit more. Stand in the joy that you sent us. Understanding the rejoicing that we should be doing. Giving you honor and giving you praise for opening our ears to hear, opening our eyes to perceive, and opening our minds to understand the wonders of thy word, the wonders of thy Son. We ask of thee, O Father, to continue to help us in our conscious mind and our unconscious mind to stand firm on Yahushua. For he is the building block that we must stand on. For he is our protection from the adversary. For he gives us the words to speak to open the eyes of those who need to see. He gives us the words to speak to open the ears of those to hear. Father, we ask of thee to continue to protect us throughout the course of this evening and allow us to have a peaceful slumber. We ask these things in the name of Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, that you continue to help the sick, strengthen the weak, and encourage the strong to be humble in your word and to be encouraged to do your task. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Merciful Father, we thank thee once again in the name of thy Son, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. May Israel, may you all have a peaceful slumber, and good night.
Heavenly voices are. Every time I close my eyes, I hear heavenly voices. Heavenly voices, speak to me, guide me, help me see. Heavenly voices, help me, yeah. Heavenly voices, guide me, protect me, yeah. Heavenly voices, speak to me. Heavenly voices, speak to me. Heavenly voices, speak to me, yeah. Heavenly voices, guide me, protect me. Heavenly